doing? How you doing? That wasn't good enough. How you doing? Merry Christmas. You know, so often this time of year we focus on the infancy stage of Jesus Christ, right? We see Jesus Christ as that little newborn baby. But we know the whole story of Jesus' life. We know from beginning to end, and the potential that that little newborn baby had to save all of mankind. And I just felt the Lord just prompt in my heart this morning to not, I guess, diminish God's potential, even if it's an infancy, like maybe you're a brand new believer, you're just in the infancy of your Christian walk. Do not diminish His potential to bring about His purpose and His plan. You know, Satan tried to come against Him so often and, you know, ruin the plans that God had made. Did Satan win? No, the Lord Jesus Christ won. He will win in your life. Give Him control, and let's go ahead and sing praises to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. All right. I'm gonna need y'all to sing with me this morning. I wish I could tell you, wish I could describe it, but I can't contain it, can't keep it to myself. There aren't enough colors to paint the whole picture, not enough words to ever say what I found. Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy, He is merciful and powerful. Who we talking about? That's my King. Yeah. We declare the glory. Give Him all the honor. Altogether worthy. Who we talking about? That's my King. There's no one before You. Yes, we will adore You. Joining the chorus, there aren't enough words to make the harmony. It's the song of the angels, through all of the ages, it's all of the earth and heaven symphony. Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy, He is merciful and powerful. Who are we talking about? My shepherd, my protector, that's my King, that's my rock, that's my anchor, my defender.
Talking about, that's my King. God, and we just acknowledge who you are. You are so good, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We are not going to let the rocks cry out in our place, Jesus. We honor you. We worship you and we adore you. You are so good. Thank you, Father God. Lord, your word says you inhabit the praise of your people, and we want to give you all of our praise, all of our worship, because we need you, Jesus. God, you are so honored in this place. We just lift up the holy name of Jesus. Jesus, God, you welcomed in your house today. Oh, God, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. God, we just exalt you. We just exalt you, Jesus. Jesus, there's nobody like you. Jesus.
Who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine? Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. Who else would die for our redemption? Whose resurrection means our right? There isn't time enough to sing of all you've done, but I have eternity to try. Forever yours. the darkness you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Here's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs.
Come on.
So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Jesus, Jesus, we speak the name of Jesus.
Hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you.
For us as believers, we constantly live in the expectation of the introduction of Christ into a situation like this. You can say, here comes the king. Or here comes the miracle worker. Or here comes the healer. Here comes the glory and lifter of your head. Here comes the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. And whatever your need is this morning, you'll find the answer of it in the statement, here comes Christ to me and for me. I'd like to call for our elders of the church, if you'd come, Jake, and if Gerald's here, and Brother Eddie, if you would come, and come and each on the end here. If you're sick in your body this morning, I want you to know the Bible says declaratively, the Lord forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth all of our diseases. And if you're in need of that this morning, I want you to know that your pastor and many around you not only believe, but have experienced the hand of God when the doctor gave not just negative reports, but final reports. And then Jesus stepped through the drape, through the doctor, and declare healing and help for that person. Amen? If that's you, I want you to come and I want you to receive prayer this morning. The Bible says if there's any sick among you, call for the elders of the church, and they will anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And that prayer of faith would save the sick. And if they committed sins, then they would be forgiven them. Jason, if you'd come too here and use this bottle. Now, church family, I want to ask you to do something with me before the rest of us are seated and pray. If you have seen and believe that God is the healer, Christ is the healer, I want you just to come stand in this front row, just a few steps behind everybody. And I want you to say, I testify in the court of heaven, and I'm agreeing in agreement. Look at this. You are surrounded with people that believe today. And those especially standing around this altar, anywhere, just stand here. And I want you to begin praying. Church family, you can be seated in the sanctuary. For the glory of the Lord this morning. Saints praying all over this building. Lord, we know who you are. We know that you can, we know that you're able, and we know that you do. You can do exceedingly, abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. You're it for us, oh Lord. You're who we look to, who we rely on. I feel a sweet sense of faith in this room. All eyes are on Jesus. All eyes are on Jesus. We need you today, Lord. Unashamedly, we cry out to you today. Unashamedly, Lord, for this miracle. For this miracle, Lord. Glory. anyone else would desire to be prayed with. In the congregation, could I ask you to stand with us one more time as we go before the Lord in prayer? The scripture is very clear. I want you all to listen to this. It said, these signs will follow those that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will get well. It's not in the hands of the man. It's not in the pastor. And it's not even in the oil. Obedience to anointing with oil is saying, Lord, our eyes are on you. You told us to do this, symbolic of the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And God does miracles. There are people in this room that got the final statement from their doctor that there's no hope. Today, they stood in this altar and the doctor said, this is a done deal. And we're believing that God is going to step in and heal them in Jesus' name. Let's just wait for these last couple of course. Seats this morning, we declare that you're greater than cancer, you're greater than AIDS or any infirmity. There is no sickness that does not cower before you. You are the Lord, our healer. It's your nature, it's the children's bread. And God, the moment these reports get back to us, we're going to declare them from this stage that you are glorious and powerful. It's okay with you. We had other people come up, so we're just going to be patient. Amen. And pray. That's right. Thank you, Lord. I love it that we're part of a church where someone says, is there time for me to get prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a lot of us have lived in this kind of place where you've said, I know what the doctor said, but, and Christ stepped in. Anybody else can say emphatically that God granted me a miracle in my body. Won't you hold your hand in? Look around this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, would you do this for me while you're standing and these making their way back to the seats? Let's do an expedited greeting and we'll get into our announcements. What? What'd I say funny? An expedited greeting? To give our preacher more time this morning.
All right, guys, good morning. If you guys can make it your way back to your seats, we can get started with the rest of our time of worship. John wasn't kidding about expedited greeting time, right? Good morning, guys. My name is Kelly Wood, and on behalf of my husband, John, and the rest of our staff here at Christ Chapel, I want to say good morning and welcome to you guys. We are so glad that we get to worship together today in this wonderful Christmas season. If you are a first-time visitor with us today, I hope that our greeting team caught you as you walked in the doors and that you were greeted warmly. I know for a fact that they have been praying and planning over your visit all throughout the week. So we are so very glad that you're here, and we do not want to embarrass you, so we will not make you raise hands or stand or do anything like that. But in lieu of that, as your reward for us not embarrassing you, right? If you would do me a huge favor, if you would please stop by that greeting table as you exit the building. It's in the foyers in between the two double doors. If you would just stop by that table and just say hello to us, we would just love to put a gift in your hands and kind of let you know what we have going on for your family here at Christ Chapel. We do take a little bit of a break during the December holiday season so that we have times, all of our volunteers have times with their families, but we are ready in the new year to kick up with all sorts of activities for all school-age children and adult ministries, and we'd just love to let you know about them, and we'd like to get to know you, so please do that. And I'm going to ask them to go ahead and play our announcement video, and then we'll have our ushers come.
Good morning, everybody. As a reminder, just want to invite you to our Christmas Eve service. It will be from 5 to 5:30. This is just a 30-minute service for you to come and worship as a family. We're going to enjoy communion together as we just honor the birth of our Savior. We have two photo booths designated for you guys to stop by with your family and friends, so make sure you do that over the next few weeks. Don't forget to share your sent stories with us of how you have shared the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Check us out at ChristChapelMacon.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and our CC Macon app.
Well, before our ushers come, and I really need your help with this. So we have the privilege, a lot of years of hosting Jay's Hope with their ministry to their Jay's Hope families around the Christmas season, and they just do this amazing job, and it is such an incredible ministry to our local community and even beyond, all throughout the state of Georgia. So we get to host something like this. So this is what I need your help with. All able-bodied individuals, if you would please, at the end of service, we really need help getting chairs up and tables out. So tables will kind of be waiting over there, and I'm sure all the ushers and Jake and everybody will have that ready to go. But we could really use your help. Many hands make light work, and we would appreciate it very much. So ushers, if you guys will come and serve our church body as we continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings, and then Pastor John will come and pray.
Songs like that get you in your feels, don't it? Even if you don't know how to sing, you can sing along with songs like that. I love it. Church family, I want to remind you that this too is an opportunity for genuine worship, that God sees the act of giving, He sees the motive of giving, and He keeps records of the giving. And Lord, it's unto you this morning that we give. We give out of grateful hearts. We are reminded that everything that we have in our life comes from you. The capacity to work, the functionality in our mind and our body all comes from you, and the opportunity. And so it's with joy that we honor you with the first fruits of all of our increase. We're not embarrassed or ashamed to ask of you to bless us and take care of us. And we rely on that faithfulness, which gives us the greatest gift of all, peace. Not worrying about tomorrow, because our Lord holds tomorrow in the palm of His hand. Be blessed today, we pray, O Lord, by one of these expressions. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Church family, it's a privilege of mine to introduce my good friend, Al Robbins. I'll tell you how you determine a preaching schedule. Sometimes we get out in the calendar and we plan stuff, and then Al just tells me when he's coming down hunting. And when he's down here hunting, I said, well, you know, you can preach horse. Oh, no, I wouldn't want to do that. For real? For real? And he's real. He's a faithful friend. He's the pastor at Christ Chapel, Maine, and a friend of this church. So, Al, would you come and share the word with us this morning? Y'all give him a hand.
Thank you. I love you. I'll turn this on when I get over there. Thanks.
It's on.
Is it? Oh, it's already on? You're getting good at this. And I'm still, after 47 years of preaching, not getting good at it. So God bless you guys. How many are alive today? 70%. One more quick survey. How many are alive today and thrilled to be in church? Come on. I come early so I get two worship services. I get practice because I can't sleep. You know, when you get old, you're up at 4:30, 5 o'clock. To do what? I don't know. There was no hunting this morning. So just excited to be here. My wife and I are separated right now. Pray for us. I'll be with her tomorrow night, though. She's watching the grandkids for a couple of weeks. And then our whole family, we have 21 of us coming in this week for Christmas. Most of them in ministry. Greatest thing was our baby girl, who's now like 32, a mother of four boys, pretty active, preached for me this morning while I was here. And I'm so grateful for what God has done. I reflect on so many things whenever I'm here. The problem with me coming all the time is all the fault of Michael Pullen. Because when he moved to our town in Berwick, Maine, he had his pastor come. And I thought, what can it hurt? Let's have him preach and meet him. And a tremendous friendship occurred. And thank you, Brother Michael. God bless you. I can't say he's my best friend, because other friends of mine might be watching the video, but he really is. Anyway, over 20 years we've shared ministry, and it's so good to be here today. We're very grateful for what God is doing. Thanks for all your prayers, love, and support. Because of it, we still have a church going in Bangor, Maine. We've had to move out of the theater that we rented for 4 years because another church bought it, and we're happy for them. What does the Bible say? Rejoice with them that rejoice. And we found another place, and things are going forward. So we're grateful for all. You guys were literally, I was telling Pastor John's kids this morning, you guys were literally the catalyst for starting a church in Maine. And you continue to support and to help us. We can't thank you enough. There's so many friends here today. I feel at home here. If we didn't have kids and grandkids in Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and Maine, I would be happy to just attend here. I really would. First storm was 2 weeks ago, and I cleared off my wife's car and my truck, froze to death. 40 minutes later, I got in my truck, and my thought was, I've only had our first storm, and I can't stand this. She came out, I confess, in telling this story. I didn't get her door this time. I tried to, but I saw her get in her side. She shook her head. She said, I can't do this year. I said, honey, I don't want to be negative, but I just had the same thought as you spoke your thought. And if it wasn't for kids and grandkids, we'd be just down here. I would just stay in the woods in a deer stand. And by the way, those of you that are my friends from PETA, I hunted 5 days this week, and no deer were killed or injured in the filming of my event this week. It's never happened in my life. I didn't see anything. I would miss them on camera by like an hour and 20 minutes. Yesterday, as I'm leaving a stand, I was there alone. I walked up to Trace Cameron, went, and I knew he'd get the picture, and he sent me back the picture of me, and then he sent me a picture of a deer that I had just missed because I came in late yesterday. The one day I go late, but we had a great week. Is Paul White here today? Paul? Paul didn't make it. He was coming. He's a friend of ours that we met through Trey and had a good time with him and his family. It's great to have a new friend of mine from the gym this week, Eric Williams. Can you wave at us? Hey, Eric, I wouldn't embarrass you, but do you mind standing? This is my bodyguard buddy from the gym. Some of you guys hook up with Eric. He's on call right now. He does highway rescue stuff, but I'm taking him to lunch after. If some of you want to meet him, we'd be glad to have you. Just keep it under 500 people, okay? Or I'll have to use Pastor John's card. But anyway, some of you guys say hi to Eric. He's looking for a church. He's a great guy. We met in the gym Monday. I didn't bug him. I didn't keep after him. He texted me this morning. And Eric, one more time, it's great to have you here today. God bless you. Thank you. You find a solid group of men that are headed forward. And you surround yourself with that team. They'll help you. He'd do great Lance Guest is on security too, right? Don't tell anyone, but he would be a great security guy. This guy could take out a full-grown grizzly bear. I've seen him in the gym. Anyway, God bless you today. How many know what holiday is coming up? Can we say in this church, Merry Christmas? Just kidding, I know. They get all worked up. I love it when a clerk says, Happy Holidays, and I grab them by the shirt collars and say, Merry Christmas. My Savior's birth. And then I pick them up off the ground. And you know, you got to be gentle, but it's still Christmas. It's Christmas. We're not going to do it today, but if we shut out all the lights right now, and it was totally dark, that's how the world was. But God had a plan from before the foundations of the earth. His Son was going to come and die for us. And it was prophesied for years and years and years in the Old Testament. And suddenly now we see in John 1, I got to read it for you real quick. Listen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That Word is Jesus. How many know that? He was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. How many know that? Come on. We know that. We're in the assemblies of God here. Listen, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. How many have found life in Christ? In Him was life, and the life, that life was the light of men. And verse 5 says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Jump down to verse 14. It says, the Word, meaning who? Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They were in darkness. They were in darkness. But did we get that verse up there, brother? We were in darkness. In the Old Testament, they looked ahead to the coming Savior. But suddenly, on that special night that God chose, Mary and Joseph can't find a hotel, you know what I mean? And here comes the light to the world. The people that sat in darkness, light has come. The people which sat in darkness, light has come. And because of that, we can take a stand. Christmas is full of light. It's full of hope. Christmas is about salvation. These trees are wonderful. We do them too. I love them. When we had a building, we decorated. Now we rent. And we, whatever it is, we can't change trees or anything. But I love all this. I'm still believing for a building of our own, by the way. In fact, I love this pulpit so much. I bought an antique pulpit about 2 years ago. And then last year, I found another deal on one, and I bought a second one that's a little bigger. And then 2 weeks ago, I found another one and drove and got that one. $100 for an antique pulpit. So if you need anything, I've got three pulpits in my garage. We just need a building. Can't wait to preach from them. I told a friend of mine in the church, he's a former pastor, I said, Bob, we're going to put up three, and we'll just have different people preach different points, and we'll use them all in Jesus' name. But you know, Christmas lets me know that I can stand. I don't have to fall. I don't have to flounder. I'm no longer on my way to an eternal darkness in hell. I was, but I'm not. Everybody say, I was. Come on, help me out. I was, but I'm not. I'm rescued. How many of you, quick, this is different, but I want to involve you today. I'm trying not to be too long for you. But would you stand if you were a mess? Can you admit that? If you were a mess, could you say, look around, folks. Okay, the rest of you that didn't, there's only like five people that weren't a mess. I was a mess. You may be seated. Look around. If you think you're a mess and you can't get help, listen, friends, this is a place to get help. That's why we came today, because it's Christmas. And we remember it's not about the Christmas trees in themselves. It's about the one who died on the tree for us. Jesus climbed on the cross, allowed it to happen, to be a payment of our sins, because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And I'll match stories with you. Let me see the hands. How many would say there are things about your life you don't want to share with anyone? Look around. We're not some group that didn't need Jesus. We love coming here because we needed Jesus. We couldn't free ourselves. We couldn't fix ourselves. We couldn't do anything to change ourselves. But on that Christmas, that first Christmas, Jesus came to earth and he provided salvation for us. You know, all my years, I feel more hope every year as the years go by. As dark as the world looks, the brighter the light of Christ looks. And this world is a mess. But I know a man that can fix it. And he's going to fix it. And he's working on us. Everyone here, if you've accepted Christ, you were lost and without hope. You were discouraged. Some of you might have considered ending your own life. But guess what? You got picked up by Jesus. And you're here. And you're living for God. And you're different. Your kids can now say, my daddy's different than he was. Come on. Your wife can say, my husband has changed. Any wives? Come on. Come on. Come on. Beth, help me out. Raise your hand. We know Lance is still changing. Hallelujah. And Lance, you can. We'll put us both under the bus. Can you say, my wife is different? And yeah, okay, come on. She's going to have a talking to with him at lunch. But anyway, how many are glad those changes have occurred? I tell my two son-in-laws, you guys are 10 times the husbands and father that I was when my kids were little. I am proud of my two son-in-laws and my daughter-in-law, and hopefully we've passed enough on to them that they're living for Jesus. We're going to Ephesians 6 quickly. I'm already preaching. Don't panic. I'll have you out on time. Is there a clock anywhere, though? I'm lost right now. I got to up. Oh, it's up there. Yeah, good. Now I can't see anything. I looked up at these anyway. How about you give me 5 minutes? Okay, there's 5:10. I got 10, 15, 20. All right, we're going to keep going. Listen, that's a bad joke. It was there. Ephesians 6 is our main text today. That was all free. Not even going to charge for that. That was just something God woke me up with this morning at 3:30 in the morning on a day I could have slept in. And I thank him for that, boiling over in my heart. Listen, Ephesians 6, we're learning to be careful with our lives. Jump down to verse 10. Scripture says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How many know it's not our own strength? How many know you've tried your strength, but it didn't work? This says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You can't put on one or two pieces. I don't have time to teach you on the armor of God, but it says put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. And then it lists the armor of God. But we're focusing on one word today, and that's a simple word, stand. 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 If you forget everything else I preached this morning, I'm here with one message to you. Whatever you're going through, discouragement, stand. Financial problems, stand. Lust, stand. Anger, stand. Jealousy, stand. Physical struggles, stand. Like Pastor said a few minutes ago, a rough doctor's report, stand. 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 Trouble with your kids, stand. Difficulty financially, stand. Fear and worry, stand. If you've come to Christ, standing begins with relationship. That's number one. To stand begins with relationship. It's coming to the cross. It's believing in your heart that Jesus is the only Son of God and the only bridge to heaven. And that even though I don't deserve it, if I'll come to Him, the Bible says, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so I come to Him. I can't earn it. I can't fix it. I can't change myself. I can't earn 5 minutes in heaven. But if I come to Him, I'm going to stand. I stand. I stand. Not by might nor by power, it says, but by my Spirit. So we come to Him and we stand. Standing begins with relationship. You have struggled. Anybody ever struggle with any addiction? Three people? Come on, help me. This is not. I've preached in some churches where, how dare he assume that I would have any struggles or difficulties? My heritage is wealth and cleanliness and crack cocaine and but they won't tell you. Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The first way to stand is to admit that you can't stand, and the only way up is through Christ. How many made that decision and your life changed? And it's still changing. The Bible says he changes us from glory to glory. The Bible says to grow in grace. Don't just stay where you're at. Standing begins with relationship. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, the mud and the mire, and He gave me a firm place to what? Stand. Anybody remember where you came from? You hung your head. You put breath mints in. You hid. You got pulled over and you said, I've had nothing. I don't even. Yeah, I've arrested a few of those people when I was a police officer. I had one, and that was about 3 weeks ago. Oh, really? Would you mind going through some basic field sobriety, sir? Sure, I'm fine. Which side do I get out of the car? I had a guy that was from Canada one night, midnight shift, and he's playing, he only speaks French. He couldn't recite the alphabet. I said, sir, I said, j'ai étudié l'en français dans l'école secondaire. He said, ah, ben, c'est. And he thought I was fluent in French. I just pulled some from my, and he got out, and he failed, and I arrested him and got somebody off the road, kept him safe. And I've had some guys that I arrested, I treated them right, and I've had them thank me because it got them on a path to sobriety. I've run into them later. Man, I didn't like you that night. I said, I understand. But they changed their lives. They got help. They got help. How many of you got help? Come on. He lifted me out of that slimy pit. He promises in Proverbs 10, verse 25, that the righteous will stand forever. And it's not righteous that we're perfect, we're good, we're givers, we're tithers, we serve, we help set up tables after church, which is good. That's part of being righteous. But guess what? We can't earn that. Jesus paid for it. Jesus paid for it. There's nothing we can do except admit that we're nothing without Him. And then when we cry out to Him and invite Him in as our Savior, it says the righteous will stand forever. We are warned in Psalm 1, verse 1, not to stand in wrong counsel or around ungodly, unchurch, wicked advisors if we want to prosper. How many know you can take everything you've received here this morning and go hang out with the wrong crowd and you spiral down again? I've never drank, but I know I couldn't be a bartender. I have no desire to drink or do drugs, but I know I'm not exempt from that possibility. Come on. Having done all to stand, stay with the right crowd. You won't mess up in this church. For example, men going to that men's meeting that Pastor Jason does every Wednesday night. You won't mess up. The Bible says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. You get around good people, they're not going to tempt you to steal, destroy, fall morally. They're going to encourage you and lift you up. In Romans 5:2 and 1 Peter 5:12, it says, assurance is given to us that we stand by and in and through and because of grace. The old hymn says, it's grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. There's an old gospel song says, he didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. It's important to remember that he which hath begun a good work in you is able to perform it. How many know he wants to change us? He wants to change us. He wants to change us. Help us, Lord. This stand that you're taking is all a direct result of your faith. Our faith in him and what he did. We approach the cross and say, there's nothing good that I've done. I can't earn 1 minute in heaven, and I can't change my life. But I'm going to stand because of what you've done, Master. I'm going to stand because of what you have done, Lord Jesus, because of the great price that you paid, that the very Son of God would allow himself to be beaten, mocked, and crucified. And this Christmas, my main focus and yours too is the cross of Christ, that a little baby came, that he grew up and allowed these things after demonstrating miracle after miracle, releasing people from demon possession, raising people from the dead, healing blinded eyes, raising a boy off a funeral buyer and bringing him down and healing him, putting people in their right mind and clothed like the demoniac man. After all that Jesus did, healing and strengthening, raising Lazarus, after all that he did, it demonstrated to us that he can do that in us too. Those that came down for prayer today, you didn't do that for something to do in your spare time. And the pastor did not stop the service and say, well, how are we going to fill up time? We'll have some people come for... No, this church invited you to come. Aren't you glad it's your church and they do that? And none of us cared about the time. You came because you know God can heal. That Jesus, as Pastor John said, can heal all manner of sickness. And we're believing for that in you. A year ago, I was here last month, and they thought I'd had a major heart attack. They kept me in the hospital 2 days, and I did have some heart issues, and I'm on some medication. But thanks to what God can do, I've been standing. I'm back in the gym. He's okayed it after a few months off. I walked about 3 miles in the woods yesterday. Trey, I set that app, Onyx Hunt. Some of you guys have it. I went 0.7 mile the first stand, 0.8 mile to the bottom stand, and then 0.7 back to the truck. And that's with a bad knee, back, neck, you name it, and a couple teeth missing. Anyway, so God did something. My cardiologist is a born-again Haitian brother, great guy. He attends my son-in-law church. Every time I go from my church, which is at 9, to my son-in-law's at 10:30 to visit, he crosses the whole room, hugs me, loves me, takes care of me. He loves God 150%. He does ministry. And he said, Pastor, I'm telling you, you're doing better. At last checkup a few months ago, he cut all my meds. He took me off 1 out of 4, and he cut 3 of them by 75% each. Go back in the gym, he said. I told my wife last night, I got water, I forgot, thank you. That's one thing they're checking out is a throat issue. I apologize. It's so rude to cough and grab my handkerchief, but if not, it's going to go all over you guys. So anyway, we got plenty of water. That'll help. I got cough drops going, water, I don't know, Lysol, who knows. Anyway, he did the last check on my heart, went out to check it with the equipment, came back in. My wife goes to appointments with me. I think that's good if you can, husband and wife together, and support each other. And he said, Laura, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never hear this from anyone else ever again, but I'll say it this one time. Your husband is normal. And then he and my wife had a great laugh at me, but I didn't care because I could finally say for the first time in my life I was normal for maybe 5 minutes, but it worked. It helped me. Listen, this stand is a direct result of our faith. Romans 11, verse 20 says we stand firm by what? Faith. 2 Corinthians 1, 24 says we stand firm by faith. In other words, we may be a little wobbly at first. We may struggle, but we stand by faith. We invite Christ in every morning. I don't leave the house without praying and reading the book of books and talking and listening to Him in my heart. How many do that? That's your key for survival. Don't just go dodging off into the day and wonder why things didn't go right. Talk to Jesus in the morning. Read His Word. By the way, get to church. There's a real trend now since COVID of not going to church. Just watch it online. If you can't get there, by all means, watch it online. I'm glad for that. I watch you guys sometime. But I'll tell you what, the greatest thing is being here with the body of Christ, working, encouraging, lifting, challenging. Sometimes we need to be challenged. Thank you for that, amen. And trusting Him will enable us to stand. We meet God, He lifts us, He sets our feet on solid ground, and we stand by faith in grace. 2 Corinthians 1:21 said, God is the one who makes us all stand firm. He oversees our lives and orders our steps. My wife and I pray that every night and every morning, every time we leave the yard, Father, order our steps. Direct us. You take control of what we're going to do today. You might be doing something like helping them put a well house cover on a church well house cover this week. And my carnality, I want to go right back out hunting, Trey. I want to go hunting, but I'm with Paul. He's a deacon. There's a guy putting a well house cover on at the church. The one Ken Land has, great church. And so instead, because I can do it, I helped out for a while. And while we're there, a dear guy who could hardly speak English, dear Hispanic man, pulled up. His trailer had gone and blown a bearing or something, wanted to park in there. He's pulling a truck. He pulled in there, and then I'm just going to bare my soul. Is that all right? I'm almost done, but I'm talking to him. We couldn't speak very well. We offered to let him use the church bathrooms, and then I felt like I had a $20 bill. I should at least give him that. He had to wait another hour for the mechanic to come from Savannah. We were over in Dry Branch, and I felt like God said, you know you got a 20 in there, and I know, but I know. Anybody ever wrestle with a 20? We shouldn't even think twice about a 20. A 20, that doesn't even gas your car up, even if you got a Prius. Anyway, so I gave him a 20. Then we gave him some snacks. I had some, you know, those power bars and things I carry in the stand and eat too many of them anyway. Because, well, this is natural. Yeah, natural. Naturally, I'll eat a dozen in about 3 hours. And so I gave him those bars, a couple bottles of water. Paul got him some Coca-Cola for he and his wife. They hadn't eaten. They're sitting there. We're in the middle of nowhere pretty much. And they're sitting there, and I went back to my truck and I opened, let me tell you, Paul had given me a bag of plantain chips that were garlic that he didn't like. I said, oh, I love plantains. They're like $3,000 a bag, but I love them. And he said, I don't want them. You aren't sure. So I'm in the back of my truck. The people that are broken down are behind me on the churchyard. I'm eating some plantains in between handing up sheets of metal. And all of a sudden, as I got in, excuse me, I'm hearing la, 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 I don't want to hear you. And he said, they might like those plantains too. That's all you got. That's my only plantains. I realized that. And so I gave them the bag of plantains. They flipped out. I prayed for them. They bowed their heads. I sang a song in Spanish. I stumbled. Why did I take 4 years of French in high school? If I'd seen the future, I wish I'd taken Spanish. And I sang, Es la vida de mi alma, es Cristo, mi Cristo, es la vida de mi alma, es Jesús mi Salvador. And I want, anybody know that song? We need more Spanish people. Thank you. And I sang it to them, and they were touched. And then I went back to work, and they're still waiting for a mechanic. And we start driving out. I'm in Paul's truck. We're going around the back of him. And I said, Paul, stop. I got to do something. We pray for God to order our steps. Don't be shocked when he tugs at your heart. I went back to the guy. I said, look, I knew I had this, but I thought I'm a generous person, John will tell you. I try to always be generous, but I gave him a 20. When I knew I had a $100 bill folded up in my secret wallet area that my wife knows about anyway. And I said, Paul, stop the truck. I can't give him 20. I got to do something else. I went around and I said, could I have that 20 back? I mean, I had to have fun with it. He said, you have the 20? I said, yeah, I need the 20. I said, would you trade it for $100? He said, I can't make change. I said, no, no, no. You give me the 20, I'll give you 100. I didn't plan on losing that 100 the other day. Come on. You know how God is? What if the body of Christ was open to all that stuff? They cried. I prayed for them. God did something in the parking lot of a church that had nothing to do with me, but I was there to say, God, order my steps. He gives us the power. 30 years ago, you couldn't have pried that 100 out of my hand. Somebody come to you, can I get some help? No, I don't have a thing. You know you can. Come on. Let's this Christmas let him run everything, even our finances. Merry, merry Christmas. Matthew 4:16 says, the people that sat in darkness, light is sprung up. Lastly, number two, only 2 points today. Stand ends in an ongoing choice. We can't come down here, confess our sins to God, ask him into our hearts, say, we believe you're the Savior of the world, forgive me of my sins and change me. And we can't come down and then not continue to stand. Come on. Anybody do that? You came and prayed what we call the sinner's prayer, and you didn't really change yet? Struggle? Anybody? Some people I know, just boom, there it happened. My son's father-in-law years ago came forward high as a kite on a Sunday morning. His wife had gotten saved. And he came down at the end, dear Pentecostal church in Connecticut, and he came down front and he started sobbing. And an hour later, this old church prayed all over him. He was drug-free for the rest of his life, including now in his early 70s. And he's my daughter-in-law's dad, and he was a board member of mine for years, Roy. You know Roy. And it was an instant thing. But for some, they come and they confess and they ask God to help them, and they forget to cut off the avenues that are bleeding negativity into their life. Our text in Ephesians 6 says, having done all, everybody say, done all, to stand. Some of you are struggling with smoking, for example, and you're hiding it in your tool shed. I had a guy in my church years ago, he's trying to quit smoking. His wife's at him. He's come to Christ. He loves God, but he's allowing things to be around him that we're tempting him. You don't mean business if you're still buying it. He would go up behind the chimney on his house, on the garage, where no one could see him, and he'd smoke. And one day his wife caught him. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to him. It's been probably 25 years now. He's never smoked again. Another time I pulled in on a different guy in my church. He's working on my old camouflage postal Jeep that I use for hunting. And he sees a pastor coming down the driveway. He's new to my church. He drops a cigarette, and it rolls under my Jeep. And we'll call him Jim. I said, Jim, excuse me, but that's my Jeep is leaking gas. I saw you smoking. It's okay. You'll get through it. And I said, I know you love Jesus. You're trying to change, and I promise you one thing. If you stop buying it, that could be your last cigarette, and you'll never smoke again. And to this day, 25, 30 years later, he's never smoked again. We've got to cut off the pipeline. I'm just struggling. You know why? You're hiding it in your glove compartment or in your back closet. I know a guy used to hide stuff in his toolbox. I went in a guy from my church. I went in his garage to get a tool for him, and he had DVDs laying there that you wouldn't. It wasn't Sesame Street videos. And later he got help. Listen, stand is an ongoing choice. Not everybody's going to be willing to stand. You've got to make a decision. Having done all, everybody say all, having done all to stand, do what? Stand, therefore. Only you can choose to stand. If your pastor could choose, if Pastor Jason could choose, if I could choose, if the staff here could choose, we would come to your house and we'd make you stand. But it would be a fake stand, and it wouldn't be an interchange in standing that has to come from your own free will and decision-making process. What happens is, we'll come to church, we'll get moved, we ask Jesus, forgive me, help me, I don't want to do it again. And then we don't burn our bridges around us that are invading us with garbage. We've got to make a decision and build in the connections to stand. Having done all to stand, stand. 2 Corinthians 2:9. It's in the context of testing and challenges and difficulty. Paul wanted them to stand the test of obedience. He reminds the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15:58 and 16:13 to stand firm. Really, you could rewrite it in contemporary version to say, hey, you guys, stand. Stand, stand. Your wife wants you to stand. Your son wants you to stand. Your grandkids want you to stand. Your pastor wants you to stand. Your family needs you to stand. Dads that are struggling, God needs you to stand. You're influencing your spouse, your children, your family, the people you work with. They need you to stand. Somebody needs to stand and ask God for the strength to stand and lead the way to somebody next to them. And then you stand because they stood and the guy next to him stood and his pastor stood. Stand firm, stand. Because it's capable, this standing for God is capable of changing your whole life by the presence and strength of God. I talked to a friend the other day about people talking about that grace forgives everything. How many know it does? Grace forgives everything. However, it's supposed to empower us to stand. Grace is not a license to continue in sin. It says that grace may abound. Keep sinning because grace will be there. Yeah, but guess what? He wants us to change. Continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid, how shall ye that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This powerful stand with Christ, inviting him in at the cross, at the foot of the cross, in Jesus' presence, praying, reading our word, getting to church, getting out to special meeting, women's meetings, men's meetings, youth meetings. It affects us, and it will enable us by the grace of God. The grace of God is not simply forgiveness. It is empowerment. I don't have to be what I was. I don't have to live like I did. I don't have to be cranky, moody, angry, cursing, violent, temper tantrum, don't cross dad today. I need to be better. Thankfully, I'm better than I was 40 years ago. Come on. One time, I don't know if I've said this, or I'm going to help somebody with this and put myself on the spot. We're getting ready to do a wedding, and I'd never done this before or since, but I got mad about something. My wife and I are arguing, and I just hauled off and punched the wall. You believe that? I was a pastor, too. I put a hole in the wall. It was easy because we're in a double wide with like 1/8 inch. And guess what happened next? We rode silently to a church an hour away, and I performed a wedding. Anybody catching the picture of this? I'm fighting with my own wife. I'm the preacher that has to do a wedding, and I punch a hole in the wall. By the way, it's never happened since. But we can laugh about it now. That's anybody ever struggle with something like that? I'm not going to ask how many have ever punched a wall. Yes, Diane has. No, just kidding. Anyway, come on. The grace is not to keep forgiving us. The grace certainly covers us. But then that grace is given to empower us to change us so we can live life to its fullest, so we can lead others to the cross. John 8:36, the Son shall make you free. You're free indeed. If we choose differently and trust the grace and empowerment, Psalm 57, verse 7, the psalmist says, my heart is fixed. It's focused. It's focused. My heart is fixed. Listen, Luke 21, verse 36 says, we're to watch and pray about the return of Christ. Be alert. Live right. Not everybody's going in the rapture, folks. Okay to say that? We got to be. Jesus said, watch and pray that you'll be accounted worthy to escape. He said, to him that overcometh, I'll grant with me to sit with me in my throne. In the last days that we live, there's an urgent Jesus standing at the door of the church. Revelation 3:20 saying, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on the door of the church in Revelation 3. He's talking to the churches. And I encourage this church, you're all great people, you love God, I know, but he's still knocking. Some of us need to get in closer. Some of us need to come to the altar today. Might be a small issue to you, but to God it's a big thing, and he wants to change you. And he's standing at the door and knocking, saying, will you let me in? Let me. Don't hide a closet. Don't hide your garage. Don't hide your attic. Don't hide it at work. Bring it to me, and I'll give you grace and forgive you, but I'll give you grace and empower you, and you'll have a testimony like your pastor and some of these other men and women of God that are sitting beside you today. Two last standing issues. He's asking for more help. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 says, he sought for someone, anyone, who would stand in the gap, but he found none. People too selfish to labor, to share their faith, to witness, to talk to somebody about the hope that's in this book based on the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What greater time than Christmas? Joshua 24, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We'll serve him. We want to serve him. We're standing. Let's bow our head just for a moment. How many would slip your hand up and say, Pastor, this message spoke to me, and I want God to help me to stand. I've trusted Christ, but I'm struggling, and I'm not allowing him to empower change in my life. Anybody? Anybody? There's several hands. I'm going to encourage you. You didn't come here by accident today, but would you meet me at the altar while our pastor comes? Would you meet me? I'd gladly pray for you. And some of these men were pastor. And would you come? How many would make a start today and this Christmas time make a stand for Jesus Christ? Invite him in. I'm going to wait right here while pastor comes, and I'll be glad to pray with you. Invite him in. It's a start, and go from there. Invite him in, and then he'll empower you to change. Would you come right now? Would you be willing to come?
Church family, would you stand with me this morning? On your way out, if I could have a couple of ushers at the door, we're going to take up an offering for Al and Laura for this Christmas, and be able to bless them and encourage them in their ministry and work. You know, when we come to Christ, he gives us the permission, the opportunity to stand in him. And then as we live with him, we stand by him, because of him and for him. God won't do that for you. He gives you life, but the stand that you take, the path that you walk, he won't do that for you, and others can't do that for you. Listen to your pastor. It won't take me but about 1 minute and I'll be done. If overcoming was easier, there'd be more overcomers. And you need to know and hear again that no matter how many times you get knocked down, see, we get discouraged. I ought to be strong enough to take a shot like that. He never told us that. It's that you have the strength to get back up and stand firm in the Lord and strong in the Lord. If I were the devil, I would be afraid of people that pray and people that get up. And guys, you know, those of us had a rough past, and you learn who somebody is in a fight, not by how hard they are to knock down, but when you see them pop back up and they're looking at you like, I hope you brought a lunch because we're going to be here a while. You have the capacity and the opportunity to stand in this season. And I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. I know you think it's greater than you, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Stand firm, stand straight, stand confident, stand encouraged, and stand for the right reason. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that's ours today to worship in this house. I thank you for Brother Al and Laura and what they mean to us and to their church there in Bangor. Lord, I pray that you would take this message and the part that is meant for us, that we would not be people who are people of excuses, but people who dust ourselves off, whether it was our fault or someone else's, and we get back up and stand for the glory of Christ. Teach us, O Lord. Teach us what we need to know. Whisper to us what we need to be reminded of, and give us the courage and the character to, having done all, to stand. And it's in your son's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Guys, don't forget, every well-bodied person that can, we're going to stack our chairs up. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.